Promotional consideration for Growing Greater Philadelphia provided by Citizens Bank and the Associated Builders and Contractors of Eastern Pennsylvania.
This is Growing Greater Philadelphia, bringing you the stories of economic growth, job creation, and business success from across the 11-county community of Northern Delaware, Southern New Jersey, and Southeastern Pennsylvania. Now, here's Matt Gabry.
So Greater Philadelphia, it's really known as a region of firsts. We're the home for the first hospital, the first medical school, the first school of pharmacy, and literally scores of other firsts were started right here in the Greater Philadelphia region. It's that entrepreneurial spirit, and it's always been here. We are truly a community of makers, and we never really settle, and we certainly don't back down. Accepting the status quo, well, it hasn't really been our strong suit. And the innovators who call Greater Philadelphia home, I think they would agree. And that's why this week we're so excited to bring you a true entrepreneur's story from concept to implementation. The story of how two creative people met and how they identified a problem, mapped out the solution, created a product, and now they're getting ready to launch that product, and it's happening right here in Philadelphia. Here to help us tell this story is our friend, Kelly Diley from Drexel University's LeBeau College of Business. How are you, Kelly?
Thanks so much, Matt. It's wonderful to be joining you today. So I've been thinking a lot about our stories.
Yeah.
And the people that we feature on this podcast.
The amazing and really inspiring people.
Yes, all of the above. I don't know what it is. Is it all the history in Philly, the art, all of the different educational institutions?
Wait, let's see. The history, the art, the educational institutions. It might be all of those things, actually, Kel.
I guess I have to agree with you because, you know, so many people that we talk to on our show undoubtedly find inspiration from living and working here in our community.
That air still resonates in the city, right? Like you can walk down a little corridor and you can just kind of feel it. Like things were built here. Change was created here.
That's Bethany Edwards, the CEO and co-founder of Leah Diagnostics. And I really think she verbalized so well what entrepreneurs must feel when living in an innovative ecosystem. You know, every day we interact with products, and generally speaking, we think nothing of it. Just accepting the way of the world because that's the way things have always been done. However, some people, they're always thinking of ways to improve older products.
And the team at Leah Diagnostics are those kind of people. Matt, did you know that Bethany and her co-founder unexpectedly got the idea for their future business one day in class at the University of Pennsylvania?
Actually, I did know that, Kel. And it's such a great and inspiring story.
Well, here Anna Coutier-Simpson, the co-founder and chief product officer, tells the story of how the revolutionary idea to create the first flushable pregnancy test came to fruition.
So I actually remember sitting in class when Bethany pitched the idea. We were in an ideation session in a design class, and there were a lot of different avenues on the sustainability and healthcare side that Bethany was looking into. And when she said flushable pregnancy test, everybody in the class just said, of course. I mean, it's the type of product that you can't believe it didn't exist already.
Right.
And in my mind, that means it's the type of product that really deserves to exist in the world.
Take us, Bethany, back into that ideation room that Anna had mentioned. Is it three people? Is it a classroom full of 20 people?
Yeah, I think it was about 20.
Yeah, about 20 people.
So it was just kind of like, you know, we're brainstorming some ideas, or is this more of a presentation that you were required to do? And, you know, here's my idea.
Yeah, much more of a presentation.
Okay.
So the initial crux of the idea started with the idea of temporality. And I kind of mentioned this before, but this idea, it came from a quote from Richard Fry. He's part of the Industrial Society for America. And he was referencing this idea that we shouldn't be so focused on making products recyclable, but we should be focused on making them so temporary that they're disposable. And so it really started more from that initial insight. And then from that insight, we really looked at, well, where could that idea be applied that would be of most benefit? And so single-use diagnostics, like I mentioned, became really, really interesting, both from the medical waste perspective, but also from the other interest on the market piece as well.
And I loved how you mentioned previously that this was really about sustainability initially.
And it evolved into not only sustainability, but a privacy perspective as well.
Mm-hmm.
Share with us a little bit more how that second part came about.
Yeah, I mean, that was really from one-on-one focus groups and really spending time talking with women with their relationship and with pregnancy tests, right?
Right.
So, you know, we heard crazy stories, everything from people wrapping up pregnancy tests and hiding them in garbage cans across the street, wrapping them in tinfoil,
right,
to also on the other side of the spectrum, women who were struggling with IVF treatments, mm-hmm, and going through, you know, tons of pregnancy tests and the reminder of having those building up in the trash, mm, that emotional being upset,
right,
was also one of the reasons why kind of the privacy piece had an interesting lens as well. I mean, also things around just sheer sanitary reasons. Some people really don't want, you know, peed on tests going in their trash.
Sure.
Some people don't want, you know, their housekeeper or, you know, family or friends to see it, right? Because it's an object that elicits conversation. As soon as you open up the trash can, if it's the first thing that you see, it naturally generates questions. And so the only way for it not to be there is to hide it.
Right.
So this idea of who hasn't hidden a pregnancy test became, right, you know, really powerful.
That's a really important perspective, because I totally agree with you that, you know, it's not just the spouse or partner, it's anybody. It's,
yeah,
anybody else who happens to stumble upon this, mm-hmm, particular item. To your point, it elicits some sort of response,
yeah,
that can really create some challenges,
yeah,
depending on the environment. You know, if it's a family member or friend or others, it can go in all kinds of different,
yeah,
directions. So it's a really important but understated component of privacy.
Yeah. And I mean, even, you know, more women testing at work, in the workplace. I mean, there's a wide variety of reasons why having a flushable pregnancy test has benefit and value.
Right.
Aside from just the sustainability piece as well.
Right. So I do want to, Anna, turn to you and ask a little bit about, because I'm always intrigued by this, the name. Where did the name Leah Diagnostics come from? Is there a special meaning behind it?
Yeah. So we wanted something that was much less clinical sounding and something that was feminine and friendly and approachable and something that you could still hear and know that you could trust the company. And it's also... it's the end of Familia, and in Greek, it means bearer of good news.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
Yes.
Okay. I would venture to guess that the average observer wouldn't know that Greek origin of Leah and the bearer of good news.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a great
yeah,
connection. I love the,
yeah,
thoughtfulness you guys put into that.
Very purposeful.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So share with us where you are in your life cycle, because I started out by suggesting that you are disrupting, you know, kind of this industry. And Bethany, you had referenced the fact that, you know, the same technology has been around for 30 years, if not more. And there's probably been certain tweaks, mm-hmm, here and there over the past 10, 15, 20 years or so to size and smoothness and other kinds of modest attributes to a device like a pregnancy test. But where are you guys in your life cycle in terms of when did you start and where are you today?
Sure. So we founded the company back in 2015. The research was done back in 2014, the early initiative on the research. And then we officially founded the company in 2015. We went through Dream It Ventures, which is an accelerator program that kind of really jump-started things for us, in addition to winning Temple's Innovative Idea Competition.
Excellent.
It also gave,
wow,
us like some initial momentum,
yeah,
and
confidence.
And confidence,
boost.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, knowing that complete strangers and investors believed in the idea outside of just academia and our friends and family was,
right,
was really helpful. And I think that was kind of the initial motivation that we needed to commit to doing this full time. I mean, it was a really big life decision to stop everything else that we were doing and go full time on the business and do it without taking a salary. I mean, that's, you know, some of the things on the entrepreneurship side that maybe some people don't talk about, but it's,
yeah,
a struggle in the beginning.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So that was 2015. We did some seed funding back in 2015 after the accelerator program, some follow-on, and worked through a lot of the product development stuff, which Anna can talk about in additional detail.
Great.
But it was myself, Anna, and an amazing chemist did all of the development work. And there was a good bit of development work. There was a lot to figure out. While the idea of a flushable pregnancy test is really simple, there's a lot of things that are counterintuitive about it. Building an assay on a platform that is inherently meant to biodegrade and water disperse,
mm-hmm,
comes with a lot of challenges and unique problem solving and material challenges. So we had about a year and a half or so solid in product development, everything from unique fluidic geometric flow paths to figuring out proprietary coatings to inventing a completely new way of handling the manufacturing process. And then in the tail end of 2017, we received our FDA clearance. So that was another big thing for us. And going through all of the regulatory clinical trials and doing all the studies, and we set up a small-scale manufacturing line to make over like 20,000 devices, and we made them by hand. It was kind of crazy.
Right.
So clearance with the FDA back at the tail end of 2017, and this year is really about, you know, brand awareness, manufacturing scale up, and being able to launch this product by the end of the year.
Now that, well, that's the sound of success. And it's also the sound of the machine that Bethany and Anna used when creating the first batches of their new pregnancy test strips. We're gathered in a clinical lab space. It's dotted with white coats and safety goggles and gloves. When we enter into this space, it's actually really easy to envision these two passionate creators spending countless hours right here in their makerspace, perfecting their design.
This only works if you press it in and then you let go and carefully pull it out.
And I do want to pivot here for a moment. There's lots of different paths we can go down here. And is your background, Bethany, science-oriented? And how did you find yourself kind of going down this path?
Yeah, great question. I am not a scientist by training. My background is actually in advertising and marketing and branding. So prior to going to Penn, I spent about 10 years in advertising and marketing. My undergrad was in that.
Yep.
And I went to Penn because, in particularly that master's program, because I really believe that kind of the next great wave of ad industries were going to be ones that had an industrial design component. Firms that were actually creating the products, because if you do that, you can build in branding from the very beginning.
Right.
There's something that the design of our product naturally conveys something about what it means on the brand side too. So it's, you know, not made out of cold plastic. It's made out of, you know, softer fibers that naturally have a warm component to them. So, you know, I really believe that that piece of kind of branding can be baked into the product and baked in from the very beginning. So that was why I went there. If you would have told me that I was going to graduate and then start this company, absolutely would have never believed you.
Right.
But I got really into the science side. I mean, when I was younger, I really enjoyed science. I collected butterflies. I had a microscope. I was like kind of a little nerdy kid.
Right.
But then in high school, I got more interested in the art side. I just think that's kind of how a lot of the education system is sort of set up, or at least was. And so I found that I could express myself and be much more creative on the art discipline as opposed to the science side. But once I was at Penn receiving my master's, I understood that there was a lot more that you could do through engineering, and science became much more obtainable and with something that you could explore more. And so I spent time in bio, and quite frankly, I mean, read a ton of journals, a lot of the Nature journals, a lot of stuff that other professors were working on sort of in the space or in a similar space. And then a lot of it was trial and error. I mean, Anna and I sat around and experimented. We cut out different shapes with a bunch of different materials. We sat around and mixed things together. We baked things in our ovens, like things that you probably shouldn't necessarily do.
Right.
I took my wedding embosser and we would like crank out pregnancy tests. I mean,
right.
It was a lot of trial and error.
From that trial and error, Bethany and Anna were able to evolve and expand their business. Now, if a product like this is such a no-brainer, then there has to be a reason why it took so long to create an improvement. Next, we take a look at what obstacles women throughout the years have overcome when creating the at-home pregnancy test.
It seems everyone wants to make Greater Philadelphia their home. Did you know that Philadelphia is ranked by the Huffington Post as one of the top 10 cities to relocate to in the U.S.? For more information on Philadelphia's rankings, visit selectgreaterphl.com.
This segment of Growing Greater Philadelphia is brought to you by Temple University, a proud supporter of Select Greater Philadelphia Council. 1 in 7 Philadelphians are Temple graduates. Learn more about Temple University at temple.edu.
Hi, everybody. It's Matt, here to let you know that our Growing Greater Philadelphia program would not be possible without the support from Citizens Bank. You know, the active engagement from Citizens Bank with this radio and podcast initiative and with all of our efforts at Select Greater Philadelphia to attract new businesses and new jobs to our community, it's really exceptional. Simply put, without the partnership we have with Citizens Bank, we could not do what we do. And we certainly cannot deliver these stories of growth and innovation. The people of Citizens Bank bring practical financial experience and deep industry expertise to each banking relationship. You can learn how Citizens can help your company reach its potential by visiting citizensbank.com/commercial. So please join me in thanking Citizens Bank for believing in us at Select Greater Philadelphia and for helping us bring you this Growing Greater Philadelphia program.
Growing Greater Philadelphia, bringing you the people and projects that are transforming our collective community of Northern Delaware, Southern New Jersey, and Southeastern Pennsylvania.
In our last segment, we learned how Bethany Edwards, the CEO and co-founder, and Anna Courtier Simpson, the chief product officer of Leah Diagnostics, actually met and how they got the idea to create a revolutionary new product, the world's first 100% biodegradable pregnancy test. Now, with technology changing so rapidly, it was kind of hard for us to believe that the at-home pregnancy tests have not changed from their original design since like the 1980s.
I know, and when I thought about it, I was really surprised too. We wanted to find out more about where it all began, how the idea for this product was birthed, so to speak, and to understand what hurdles women have encountered when creating this test. Here, Anna tells us the story of the woman who first began this uphill journey.
This amazing woman, Margaret Crane, was actually a graphic designer, and she was working for a company creating in-lab pregnancy tests at the time, and she took a tour of their lab. We actually had the luxury of having lunch with her earlier this year.
Oh, how cool.
It was absolutely amazing. Cool. But she said that she was touring the lab and she was looking at this, you know, these test tubes on the table, and she said, that doesn't seem like it's that hard. I think women are smart enough to be able to do that on their own. And she actually ended up designing the first at-home pregnancy test.
Oh, yeah. Very cool. Yeah.
So it actually took a while to commercialize it. Not because of the technology piece, but because of the pushback that she was getting from some of the religious folks and the company itself and doctors. There was a group that really did not believe that women had or possessed the ability to be able to diagnose themselves or should not be able to, right? So there was a lot of tension.
Yeah.
While she had it designed for a while, it wasn't able to go to market for several years later.
We can all imagine what that make or break moment feels like for any entrepreneur when they're standing there before a room full of investors, hoping beyond hope that they will receive the funding for their new cool idea.
Hi everyone, I am Bethany Edwards and I'm the co-founder and CEO of Leah. And today I'm here to talk to you about pregnancy tests.
In 2015, at Dream Adventures, an accelerator program located in the University City neighborhood of West Philadelphia, Bethany is eagerly pitching her idea for the Leah pregnancy test to a room full of individuals who, quite frankly, were not the traditional target audience for this type of product.
Now, before all the men in the audience jump out of their seats and beeline it for the nearest exit, give me a chance to explain why my team and I will revolutionize the $730 million pregnancy test market.
And now, only a few years later, the team at Leah have really bridged that gender gap, and they've helped evolve pregnancy tests for women, and at the same time, they've also helped empower women, challenging them to not accept the status quo.
Anna, if I could put you on the spot, if you can, share with us a story of a challenge, a hurdle that you and Bethany had to overcome over the past, you know, 24, 36 months as you were embarking on this journey to create and move forward this concept of Leah Diagnostics.
Yeah, I would have to say the entire summer of 2016 was a big challenge for us. We hit a real roadblock in our development process. Things weren't working the way that they were supposed to be. We decided to bring all of the development in-house and take it into our own hands. We were realizing that partners weren't understanding the way that we were thinking about the goal and the outlook for the product and the manufacturing process. So we brought everything in-house. The two of us sat side by side prototyping all summer, really to turn that corner and keep making headway on the product. It was actually then when we found our chemist who helped us on the diagnostic side. And after that summer, it was probably about 6 months of hard additional development work just to continually kind of tweak the product and keep improving it to get, you know, our 99% accuracy, the sensitivity that we were looking for, and additionally continue to work towards our 100% flushability, 100% biodegradability, and begin to test with women.
That was definitely a defining year.
Yes.
Yeah. The summer of 16.
Yes.
Is basically what you're remembering,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You got to look back on it fondly.
We had a storefront office, and yes, it was just the two of us in there every day.
Every day. Yeah. Cutting different shapes, using wedding embossers. We hired a Drexel co-op and started taking advantage of Drexel's co-op program, which is wonderful for startups. I think it's a really, really strong, good strategy.
Yeah.
And that, as Anna mentioned, we brought all of the development back in-house, and it was a critical moment. Had we not done that and made that really hard decision, we probably would not be here today. I mean, I absolutely believe that we were burning money, so we really had no choice but to stop paying for everything else and just do it ourselves.
You had to adapt and make it happen.
I very vividly remember we had this investor call, and one of our investors was like, I gotta be honest, Bethany, it sounds like you're making these in your garage,
right?
And we were like, well, right now we kind of are, but
and I think it was also a turning point for us just confidence wise as business owners. You know, we'd done all of this research to understand how the technology could work, and like we mentioned, our background isn't science, but we'd done the work to become the experts in the domain. And so we decided to just, you know, do it ourselves.
Now, as you can imagine, this interview covered a lot of ground, and it truly is one of our favorites. To learn how Bethany and Anna plan to expand into the international market, well, be sure to head online to 1210WPHT.com/select.
And next, we learn how one of the largest trade associations in construction supports the building boom in our region.
This segment of Growing Greater Philadelphia is brought to you by KPMG, a proud sponsor of the Select Greater Philadelphia Council. After opening its Philadelphia office in 1908, KPMG partners and professionals have enjoyed helping Philadelphia's business community grow and flourish for generations. And KPMG looks forward to being a part of Philadelphia's continued growth and prosperity. Learn more about KPMG and the firm's audit, tax, and advisory services at kpmg.com.
Today, Rowan University's more than 19,000 students choose from more than 83 bachelor's and 41 master's degree programs, 7 doctoral programs, and 2 medical degree programs. Learn more about Rowan University at rowan.edu.
Growing Greater Philadelphia is made possible in part thanks to support from PICO, a proud investor of Select Greater Philadelphia Council. With a history of more than 130 years of service across the Greater Philadelphia community, PICO has a long-standing commitment to a culture of excellence. At PICO, we strive to advance smart energy solutions to provide safe, reliable, affordable, and clean energy and energy services to our customers and the communities we serve. Learn more about PICO at pico.com.
Distribution costs, workforce talent, ability to recruit, cost of living, quality of life. Greater Philadelphia has an advantage when considering key business factors. Find out why Northern Delaware, Southern New Jersey, and Southeastern Pennsylvania, the perfect place to establish and grow a business. Visit SelectGreaterPHL.com and tune in to the Growing Greater Philadelphia podcast on radio.com.
One of the things we are super passionate about discussing here on Growing Greater Philadelphia is the construction boom. We see it everywhere, Kelly. I mean, it's in Wilmington in northern Delaware. It's in southern New Jersey, especially right across the river in Camden. It's certainly here in Center City, Philadelphia, and it's happening all across southeastern Pennsylvania, from Malvern to King of Prussia to Ambler.
You name it, we see construction happening like every day. It's pretty incredible.
It is, and the Schuylkill Yards are going to be coming up soon. It is everywhere. I look outside my office window and I see construction. So it was pretty cool that we had the opportunity to sit down with Joe Propiglia, the president and CEO of Associated Builders and Contractors for the Eastern Pennsylvania chapter, to learn more about what his association does for the construction community in our region. Here, Joe gives us a snapshot of what his organization, we affectionately refer to as ABC, is all about.
ABC is a commercial trade organization. So what we're made up of a conglomeration of local construction companies, some that are, you know, not local but might have a branch here, doing business and growing Greater Philadelphia. So we work to support them through management training, apprenticeship training, everything really from training from guy who's out in the field to someone who's in the corner office. So we kind of handle everything in between.
That's great. And share with us a little bit more, and it may sound like a really obvious question or maybe even a naive question, but trade associations, the value that a member of Associated Builders and Contractors Eastern Pennsylvania will see in saying, you know, I really want to belong to this organization because it's helping my team and me do X.
Absolutely. I mean, I'll tell you something. I have an interesting story with ABC because I was an incoming member. That's how I found ABC.
Okay.
I worked for another construction company and I passed the office every day.
Yeah.
And that company was looking to grow. And I went in, one thing leads to another, and look where I'm sitting now, and that's a great story in itself. But
that is.
I was looking for that value.
Yep.
And what ABC is, it's a lot like a family.
Yeah.
It's a lot like a great organization full of great people, all looking to support each other. So when you look at our typical members who have been with us, you know, 40 plus 50 years, they started as 2- and 3-man shops, and now they're $60-70 million companies. I wish they were billion, but million-dollar companies, they're huge.
Yeah.
But every story, it kind of all starts the same. You know, it was my brother, it was me, and we got together. And then you look and you go, wow. I mean, we have members, yeah, like I said, from 1964, 1966.
Sure.
They're huge conglomerations now.
Yeah.
But they started small, and it's neat to see that.
And it's a nice compliment because you have some of those really large companies that have been around for 30, 40, 50 years that are really flourishing, and it's being complemented by the smaller shops that are just getting started or they're making a really great living, but there's only 5 of them.
Right. And that's the thing. I mean, what we provide, as I mentioned, we talked about training, is we do everything from, you know, management training or someone who's working in the field to be more efficient and to be better at their job. You know, whether you're looking at a 4-year apprenticeship program or continuing education for management, becoming a supervisor, becoming a chief financial officer, all those things. That's what we do. So, you know, when I look at certain companies now that have been with us for so long, I say, am I looking at the next so-and-so company?
Right. You never know.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so that's what makes the job exciting.
You had mentioned members who have been with ABC since 62 and 64. Share with us a little bit more about the history of Associated Builders and Contractors.
Sure. We're kind of looking at it in two tracks. So in the first track is the national group.
Okay.
So the national group was started in Baltimore in 1950, originated with 7 contractors, kind of banding together for, you know, constructors' rights, looking to build and grow. That grew into now, there are now, don't quote this, 70, I think it's 22,000 or more companies in our membership. And then we're one of 70 chapters around the country.
Wow.
So it's a big group. I mean, we get together for an event. It's a thing.
Yeah, right. So let me appreciate this. Associated Builders and Contractors of Eastern Pennsylvania. So you guys cover basically the entire east coast of Pennsylvania.
Correct.
How many counties about is that?
17.
17 counties. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we talk about that distinguishes Greater Philadelphia is our talent pool. And to be candid, generally speaking, we're talking about talent that's centered in specific industries like engineering, finance, tech talent, higher education, especially in the medical field. Tell us a little bit more about this new unique program Associated Builders and Contractors have just launched here in Greater Philadelphia.
Absolutely. So we're doing a couple of things. One, you know, our chapter has changed over even the last 3 or 4 months. I've reorganized the chapter and put a lot of effort towards workforce development, more into our apprenticeship training programs. And that's what we're looking to do in Greater Philadelphia, again, is to promote the trades. It's most rewarding to see that. You know, you see apprentices graduate, and I've been there long enough now where I start to see someone goes off and starts their own company.
Right.
And we like to try to, you know, make sure we promote that and then find talent for them. And that's what we've been doing just within the last 4 months with a lot more earnest than we might have done maybe 5 years ago.
Growing Greater Philadelphia is presented by Select Greater Philadelphia. We're a council of the Chamber of Commerce for Greater Philadelphia, and we're the business attraction organization for Northern Delaware, Southern New Jersey, and Southeastern Pennsylvania. We work to grow the economic vibrancy of our collective community by attracting new businesses and new jobs to our neighborhood. Thanks to our investors and partners who believe in our efforts, and a special thanks to Citizens Bank for their highly engaged support of this podcast and of all of our efforts at Select Greater Philadelphia. Simply put, without the support of Citizens Bank, we could not do what we do every day. You can learn more about how Citizens can help your company reach its potential by visiting citizensbank.com/commercial. And to learn more about our Greater Philadelphia region, check out selectgreaterphl.com and tune in anytime to this radio and podcast program at 1210wpht.com/select.